All right. So tonight you will hear the Sal Pal Football Hour because he's at Poppy's tonight. But he brings us his knowledge right now on Tuesday. He's brought to us by Univest Bank, financial solutions for your business. He had a really good question for Doug Peterson. Monday's press conference, and they were getting into him. Here he is, the great Sal Pal Antonio from ESPN. Sal Pal, the head coach was questioning the questioning a little bit.
Well, actually, that wasn't me on Monday. On Sunday.
Sunday. Yes. That's right. Sunday after the game.
The game, you know, he made the comment about the pressure is off.
Yes. Yeah. And you got right back in. What's that mean?
No, I kind of waited. I waited. I laid in the weeds a little bit, and I waited for him to explain himself and for a couple more questions. And then I asked him, what do you mean by the pressure is off? What do you mean by that comment? And he didn't really have a good answer.
No, he did not, and he tried to come back with it also on Monday.
And then he got asked a couple of times on Monday about it because he didn't give a good answer, and it kind of hung out there, you know, like a hanging shad, like a dangling participle, if you will. And it still doesn't compute for a lot of people here who follow this football team so passionately. We just don't get it, what taking the pressure off means. Initially, when he said it, I thought to myself, is he saying that they're out of it now and now the pressure's off them and they can sort of play a little more freely? I hope he's not saying that. That's why I asked him to kind of quantify it a little bit.
Yeah, let's talk about the game, first of all, and what you saw. Obviously, the defense backed off a lot and almost went into a prevent and allowed the Carolina Panthers had come down the field in really quick fashion with chunk plays, 8 and 7 and 14 and 9 and plays like that. And they just allow them to score two easy touchdowns. Now, why does that happen? Like, why does the defensive coordinator stay in that kind of a mode? And secondly, why does the head coach say, hey, Jimmy, let's change it up here. Let's get a little more aggressive.
Well, you know, I'm going to beg to differ with you a little bit. I saw them dial up the blitz in the fourth quarter. I saw them bring a lot of pressure that just didn't get home, that was blocked, and Newton escaped. I thought that the problem when they bring the pressure is they're not playing up on the line of scrimmage enough, and they're allowing wide receivers, tight ends, whatever it be, running backs, to get loose too easily. But the biggest problem, Mike, is the rush is not getting home in the fourth quarter. Last year, it got home in the fourth quarter. This year, it's not. And that's the major difference, no matter how much Schwartz dials up the blitz.
You don't think they went soft on coverage a little bit in that fourth?
I think that they were backing off, but they certainly, in terms of the secondary, but they brought extra pressure. They brought extra bodies at Newton. Newton did a good job of escaping. I thought Carolina did a good job of picking up the blitz, and the blitz did not get home. They did not get to Newton. The one time on the 4th and 10 where they almost got him, and it was nearly a strip sack, he wriggled free and got the ball to Torrey Smith, and then Torrey Smith got free because Jalen Mills fell down.
Now, he questioned why people questioned him about running the football and instead of what he did in the fourth quarter. What did you see there?
Well, you know, he clearly needs to run the football more in the fourth quarter with a lead. It's just inexplicable to me. Yeah, I just don't get it. I don't understand some of the play calling. And maybe some of it might be that he's got run-pass option for Carson Wentz, and Carson is throwing the football. Maybe he's protecting his quarterback a little bit. But the bottom line is the play-by-play sheet says pass, not run. And that's not good. I was listening to you a little bit earlier, but when your quarterback, after the defensive pass interference call down the middle of the field, and you're inside the 20, and you got a chance to win the game, if you're Carson Wentz, and you're healthy, and you're completing 80% of your balls in the football game, you got to get the team in the end zone, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. That's what we're talking about.
We could dissect this all we want, whether he ran the ball, he didn't run the ball enough, Peterson, whether the blitz didn't get home, whether they're in soft coverage. But a lot of, you know, if you look at the trends in the NFL, two things are happening. One, teams are scoring more and more points at a historic level. And two, teams are winning close games. Games are closer than they ever have been. And in both of those cases, the Eagles are behind the trend. They're not scoring as many points as they scored last year, and they're not winning the close games when they won the close games last year and 2 years ago. So in both of those cases, that's a serious trend to be bucking in the NFL. That, to me, that was a total team loss, no question about it. I mean, you can blame everybody from Doug Peterson to Dexter McDougal, but it's total team loss. But the bottom line is, this team is not scoring enough points. It just is not. You should be able to at home. Again, your starting quarterback, your franchise quarterback is healthy. He's completing 81% of his balls in the football game. You got to score more than 17 points. And the bottom line is they are not. In a league where everybody's scoring 35, 40 points, there's been an explosion of points scored, by the way, all over the league, except in the NFC East, and particularly with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, which leads me to my next thought here, as they need to add some people. They're thin in spots. Now, Derek Barnett goes out today, but let's talk about the offense first.
Yeah.
They obviously don't trust their weapons right now at running back and maybe even the left wide receiver. Is it incumbent upon them to make a deal right now?
Well, it is, but, you know, I don't know what you would make a deal for. You know, I would say to me, the best player out there who wants to be traded is Patrick Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
And if it works financially, and if the Arizona Cardinals aren't asking for a first-round pick, which I'm presuming that they are, because I wouldn't give up a first-round pick for Patrick Peterson. No way. But I would certainly give up a second and maybe a second the following year. But if he's available and you can get him, this team could use a corner, no question about it. They, obviously, to me, the first thing that this team needs, without a doubt, is a running back. And I think they missed the boat on a lot of things, particularly on keeping LeGarrette Blount. I mean, letting LeGarrette Blount go and keeping Darren Sproles. To me, that is the number one offense. If you want to point to the number one thing that went wrong in the offseason, that was it. Because if you look at last year, there were times when Carson Wentz couldn't throw them out of trouble. And he needed LeGarrette Blount. All you got to do is go back to that game against the Chargers last year. Without Blount last year, they don't go to the Super Bowl and they don't win it. Even with Carson Wentz on the stretch that he went on. And he bailed out Nick Foles many, many times. To me, that's the number one mistake that's going to haunt this team throughout the season.
All right, that's presuming you we've got the same LeGarrette Blount, but I understand your point.
What did I say? Did I say something different?
No, you're presuming that you would have gotten the same LeGarrette Blount.
I'm presuming that we would have gotten the same LeGarrette Blount. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no question. It would have been better than Darren Sproles sitting on the bench for five
years. Not true. I think they overvalued that.
But then you have to go back to the other thing now is what do they have in this offensive line? Because, you know, when you're running the football, it's not just the running back. It's just not the game situation. You got to get people off the line of scrimmage. You've got to protect this quarterback. I mean, Wentz has been sacked 17 times, and he has been hit while throwing or running 43 times, both fourth most since week three, behind only Deshaun Watson, Marcus Mariota, and Prescott. He's number four. Wentz is number four in both of those categories. He's on pace, Michael, to get sacked 47 times. Last year, he was only sacked 28. And this is a guy coming off a knee injury. It's not good. So I would say, yeah, you could get Patrick Peterson, but to me, they got to look at their whole offensive approach with this offensive line and running the football. They need to get this kid some help because, yeah, I get it when you're inside the 20 in the fourth quarter at home. And he did, no question. I was standing right on the sideline. I was standing right there on the Carolina Panthers bench at around the 20-yard line in the fourth quarter waiting to go on the field to interview players. And I saw Wendell Smallwood wide open in the flat, 5 feet from me. Mm-hmm. Carson Wentz did not throw him the football.
And looked his way, too.
And I turned to my producer and I said, what is he doing?
Mm-hmm.
Because that was, to me, the game right then and there. Because then after that, you knew they were going to come after him. Because at that point, you know, they could have run it twice and got the first down, but they clearly weren't going to do that because that wasn't what they were presenting to the defense. But to me, this team must, Mike, this is the NFL in 2018. You got to score. You can talk about the defense all you want, but you got to score more than 17 points at home with a healthy quarterback. You just do. I don't care what you're talking about. And they're not. They're just not.
Sal Powell at Poppy's Italian Restaurant tonight, starting at 6. And, you got a little pregame entree or postgame?
It's been ordered already.
Oh, beautiful.
Looking forward to it. Fantastic. Yes. By the way, the publisher of my book has a contract for an audio book. Now, here's my idea. I've talked to the publisher about this. My idea is that we alternate chapters. We get the Cuz to do one chapter.
That's
we get
awesome.
Mikey Miss to do one
Fantastic.
Chapter.
Fantastic. I love it.
I do one chapter. We get Jaws to do a chapter. We get some of the players to do it. In other words, you know, the flavor of the week, whatever was happening, will give that voice will give drama to what was happening that week. What do you think?
That's a great idea. I'm in.
You in?
I'm definitely in. I'd love
Fantastic.
To do that.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah. So I'm signing my book Thursday at the Barnes & Noble in Marlton, New Jersey, 7 p.m. this Thursday, day after tomorrow. And we'll talk to people about, you know, who they want to do some of the chapters
Beautiful.
For the audiobook.
Have a good audiobook show, bro.
Audiobook should be ready for Christmas.
Sounds good.
All right, Michael, thanks.
Right.
Yeah, Poppy's great. Great place, great people, great food. I'm telling you, the food here is awesome. Got to come out and check it out.
I will.
All right, brother.
There he is, Sal Powell. And Poppy's, of course, tonight, starting at 6 o'clock, presented by Gabbiano Dark Knight and Lyric by Etude Wine. Poppy's Italian Restaurant, 3120 South 20th Street in South Philly. We'll